Yeah, praise the Lord. Remember, one of the very important function of the priest is to pray. To pray before the golden incense altar. It is an exercise. We don't have to pray with many words, but we should pray from our heart and our spirit to the Lord. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. It is very good for our spirit and for our service to the living God to pray all the time without ceasing. So I encourage you all to pray. Amen. Well, let's continue with the burden of the Lord in the book of Hebrews. I think one special point that we need to fellowship about concerning our great heavenly high priest is that he has been perfected. Our Lord is a wonderful great high priest. Perfected forever. It says in the book of Hebrews, he is perfected forever. It is very important to see this, that Christ as a great heavenly high priest, as a man, not as God, although he is God. But remember, he became a man just like you and me. And he went through all kinds of sufferings and tests and challenges from the principalities and powers, from Satan, from religion at that time, even from his own family members. In every way, he was tempted, just like you and me. And yet, without sin, he was victorious. He was fully perfected. If you go back to chapter 5, you will see that Christ, during his time on this earth, he cried out to the Father to help him, who was able to save him from death, and he was perfected through sufferings. So this is a very important point to show us that the Lord has to go through, as a human being, all the challenges on this earth in order to help you and me. Meaning to say that the goal is to perfect us. You and I have to be perfected as a Christian. I don't know if you have this concept in your heart or not. Have you ever prayed to the Lord, Lord, I want to be perfected as a priest. I desire to be perfected. And the whole priesthood here in the argument of the writer is that if the Levitical priesthood could have perfected them in that priestly service, then there is no need for a new order of the priesthood. But because the Levitical priesthood could not perfect those worshipers, those who serve according to the Levitical priesthood, so there is a need of a different, a higher level of priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. What does it tell you? It tells you that God desired to perfect us, to bring us to perfection. Well, we all like to give an excuse, no one is perfect, right? If you did anything wrong, or Okay, you failed. You always excuse yourself and says, nobody's perfect. Right? Have you ever said that, Charlie? I see Charlie there again. That's why I use Charlie. Right? I have to be speaking to somebody I know, right? And Charlie is right there. So, Charlie, you're helping me, right? Have you ever said, nobody's perfect?
Yes, I did.
How many times?
Quite a number of times.
Quite a number of times. You didn't even know how many times because it is too many times, we said. And you excuse yourself, well, you know, I am what I am. Not perfect. But let me ask you another question. You help us. Do you aspire to be perfect?
By faith, believing the Lord that He would perfect us.
But I'm asking you, do you aspire, desire to be perfect?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm glad. Wow, you're very special. You desire to be perfect. So where is it written that you should be perfect?
Matthew?
Ah, good. Now I believe you desire to be perfect. Because in Matthew, right, when the Lord was talking, you know, where people says, well, that is the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Lord said, I believe it was in chapter 6, He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? I'm glad you know that verse. And now I believe you desire to be perfect. Because you remember that verse.
Yes.
God desires for us to be perfect. We have to be perfect. To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is really a wonderful word to encourage all of us to be perfect. Oh, not chapter 6, I'm sorry, it's chapter 5, you're right. Thank you, Sharon. Right. Chapter 5. Be perfect. Now have you checked yourself whether you're being perfected? Can you testify that you're getting more and more perfect than last week, last month, last year? I mentioned this morning in the meeting, if you're going to school and you're studying to be an accountant, you studied probably accounting, right? I'm not sure what you studied. 4 years of college studying accounting, for example. Don't you see that year after year you're being perfected to be an accountant? No? Can you see your improvement? You see your score, are you getting A or B or F? Right? You have a report card at the end of the year, at the end of every semester. Are you getting an A or are you getting a C, barely passing, or you get a D or an F? You know whether you are being perfected or not. But unfortunately, spiritually, we don't have that report card every semester. You don't get a heavenly report card. The Lord doesn't give you a report card saying, okay, Charlie, in this semester, sorry, you got a C, not an A. How about that? Have you ever checked yourself how much improvement in your spiritual life you're experiencing? So after 4 years, well, you graduated, you passed. You pass the test, right? You think our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he didn't know whether he passed the test or not. What about in your daily living? Do you fail all the time? Are you obeying his voice? Does he speak to you? How often today did you hear his speaking? You know, in the Old Testament time, a slave, if he decided to stay with his master forever, forever means in his whole life, the master will have to bring him to the doorpost and bore through his ears here. Because being a servant, what is the most important thing a servant should do? Charlie.
Sorry, to follow the master.
How do you follow? You listen to the master, right? And you obey what he says. Can you imagine a servant never wanted to do what the master says? What about your boss? Right? Of course, you're your own boss. But what about, I see Sarah's there, right? You're working in a company. You have to do what a company tells you to do, right?
Right.
Everything, right? Suppose you argue with the boss every time the boss tells you to do something, you says, no, come on, you're not right. I am right. I want to do it my own way. What do you think will happen to you?
Fired.
Fired. You're right. You'll be fired. Now, how often do we listen to the Lord? If you want to be perfected, if you desire spiritually to be perfected, and you want to know whether you are improving in your spiritual life, then how do you grade yourself? I don't think the Lord will send you a report card, right? But in your company, at the very end of every year, you have to have something to fill out, right? To grade yourself. How you did? Did you do well in the company? Right? How you performed? I wish the Lord would give us such a form to fill out at the end of every year to see how we perform as a priest. But you know, the Holy Spirit within you is asking you. He knows God is keeping a record. Have you not read in Malachi that God is keeping a record? Whatever you say, he keeps a record. Whatever you do, he keeps a record. And there is a book of life there reporting. And every idle word that we say will be written down, reported. I wish you would show me every year. Okay, John, here's your report card. But he didn't need to do that. You should know. You should know how you fare in your spiritual life. How is your relationship with him? And you've gone through trials, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trials a day. Did you fail? Or you were victorious? Yeah. We need to know. This is why at the very end, when the Lord Jesus comes, you need to give an account. But you don't give an account to your spiritual life with the Lord. What about not just your life personally? What about the church life? Year after year, are we being perfected? Or year after year, we are not going upward, we're not going forward, we're going downward. No improvement. And oh, as elders of the church, you don't even care if the church is going upward, moving forward, growing, being perfected or not. You don't care. In some places, the elders are even quarreling among themselves. That's a shame. That is a shame. That means, hey, no one is accountable. Nobody is accountable. I wish every quarter Gabriel will come down or Michael will come down and give us a report of how your church life looks like. Perhaps that would be a real help to all of us, right? But actually, no. That is why in the church life, you have brothers who are bearing some responsibility, not ruling over the church, but bearing some spiritual responsibility to the Lord to see. There should be stars. There should be messengers of the churches that can tell, that can see, are we going on or are we not going on? Are the saints growing, improving? Well, if you are not practicing the priesthood, you will never know. Because the saints are all quiet, saying nothing, sitting there, listening to your message. Amen, go home. And you don't know how they are faring, how they are doing in their spiritual life. But if every one of us is bringing an offering to God and you open your mouth and bring an offering, oh, everybody knows. But if everybody's sitting there quiet, just singing song, you cannot tell by listening to songs whether the saints are spiritual or not. You can tell if they sing loud or not loud, but you cannot tell if the saints are just singing. Through singing the song, you can tell whether they're spiritual or not. I don't think so. I don't think so. If the saints are not praying, are not opening their mouth to really pray, how can you know? How are you going to know? Yeah, oh Lord. I think I'm being too, what? Too practical, right? This is why year after year, personally, as a Christian, and corporately as the church, we don't care if we are going on or not. And if then, let's say, if Peter comes, or John the apostle, or Paul, or one of them came to visit us and see the situation, and speaking the truth, you get offended. You get offended. Because outsiders, when they come, they see the difference. But those who are within the church, year after year, every Sunday, going through the same, you don't notice it. You don't notice it. But praise the Lord, we have to change. And this is where the priesthood is very crucial and very, very important. If during the week you have no experience of Christ and you come to the Lord's table to worship and keep the feast and you have nothing to bring to the Father, you know, I wasn't diligent to gain Christ. Right? This is just a little example that I'm bringing to you. Listen, I'm not trying to preach and interpret the Bible. I'm trying to help you. And myself as well, to encourage all of you to practice the service of the priest, the holy and royal priesthood. Because if there is no service of the priest, it's hard for you to know whether you're being perfected or not. Well, I don't know if you agree with what I'm saying or not, but this is what Hebrews here is telling you. If perfection would have come through the Levitical priesthood, then we have no need. There's no need to have a different priesthood. That means this different priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, should be able to perfect you and me. How? You need to ask how. Don't talk about doctrines. How? Now that you're offering not animals, not a goat, it's very easy to get a goat to the meeting and offer the goat, right? Just go to the market, look for a nice goat, nice sheep, right? A little sheep, a little lamb, and then bring it. It's very easy, right? That cannot perfect anybody or anything. This is what I'm using this example because Levitical priesthood to bring the offerings and gift to God is just to bring an animal. The animal has nothing to do with me. But now, in the new covenant, in this wonderful testament, the New Testament, we have a much better sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the perfect sacrifice. And now you have to realize why the Lord has to be perfected, not as God, of course, as God he is perfect, but he became a man just like you and me. Don't think, of course, he is victorious because he's God. No, the Lord put aside his divinity and he became a human being just like you and me, having to go through all the sufferings, right? Every day, can you imagine, people even try to kill him, okay? And try to catch him. All eyes are looking to him to see if he made any mistake. And they're trying to find fault in him. They're even trying to stir him up. They're doing all things. They did everything. They lied about him. They slandered him. They laughed at him. Right? They did everything to him, not just once a week, every day. And they're following him. And they bear false witness against him. Right? Purposely stirring him up and they try to trap him. And finally, they killed him. And even while he was hanging on the cross, he didn't say, Father, kill all of them because they are so terrible and evil. For me, if I would have won the hang me on the cross, my prayer would be, Father, send fire from heaven right now, just like James and John. But the Lord says, Father, forgive them. Can you say that? Father, forgive them? So many people, even amongst his brothers and sisters who offended you, can you not forgive them? We failed in so many ways, we are not perfected. But we have to be perfected. And Christ, as a man, has to be perfected. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 5. Right. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 5 and read that verse again. Right. Yeah. You know, to be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, don't think the Lord Jesus, he passed it very easily, right? No. That his test was not that easy, right? In verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, I hope we all will offer up prayers and supplication. Have you ever prayed for those who offended you? The Lord went through so much sufferings and people rejected him, laughed at him, even tried to pick up stone to stone him, right? And he was praying. What do you think the Lord is praying? For me, I would have prayed, Father, destroy them. How about that, Charlie? How would you pray to the Father? I think we were both about the same, right? Send will be like Elijah, send fire from heaven and consume them. How about that? Right, Sharon, would you do that? We will all do that, but not with the Lord. He prayed with prayer and supplications. To make supplication is not for yourself, but for others. With vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Now, what kind of death is he talking about? Physical death? No, he is not praying for God to save him from physical death. He came to be a sacrifice for us. Why would he pray that, Lord, save me from dying? No, it's from spiritual death. To pull him down. Remember Romans chapter 8 talking about the law of sin and death. Weakness, death. Signifies weakness and weakness to the uttermost, then you die. But spiritual death means you are weak, you're not able to fulfill what God wants you to do. That's death. Sin is committing, doing that which you should not do, but you went ahead and do it. That is sin. But death is not being able to do what God wants you to do. And the Lord came to do the Father's will, but death, the power of death there is preventing our flesh here to carry out what God wants us to do. We always says, no, mañana. No, mañana never comes, because every day is a mañana tomorrow. Right? Mañana. But what about today? The Lord came to do God's will. It's written there, even right there in chapter 10. But as a man, our flesh is preventing us to do God's will. And when you fail to do God's will, do you cry out to God and says, "Oh, wretched man as I am, save me. Save me. Because the weakness in the flesh preventing me to accomplish the will of the Father." Right? And the Lord cry out to the Father. The Lord did not say, "Well, sorry, Father. I became a man, so you should understand as a man, I'm a weakling, right? I'm weak." How many times did you excuse yourself instead of crying out to God, "Father, save me, save me. Strengthen my inner man. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, that I may be a priest to carry out your will." But instead, you just, okay, you're there, especially as the brothers taking the lead, right, helping the saints. "Well, I sympathize with you because I'm just like you." How about that? But with the Lord, no. He made prayers and supplication with vehement cry, meaning to say, desperately from his heart and with tears. To him who was able to strengthen him to carry out the Father's plan and purpose. So don't understand the word death here as physical death, as if he is going to be crucified on the cross. No, the Lord was not afraid to be crucified, even though there was, he felt it. He says, "Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me," right? But he said, "No, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." My, he was strong there. He was not weak. And he went to the cross. But here in his 3.5 years, especially the 3.5 years in his ministry on this earth, you know, the Lord lived on this earth 33.5 years. And nothing was mentioned about his childhood and his teenage time. And yeah, even in his adult life. Because according to the scriptures, his priestly service begins at the age of 30. But what happened in the first 30 years of his life, we have to realize he must have been going through a lot of challenges. Don't think the devil, Satan, will leave him alone. Remember the Lord when he was 12 years old, he was there in a temple speaking with those doctors of theology, those theologians there. So here he was tested. He was perfected. He went through all kinds of tests. And he passed all of them with flying colors. Straight A's, summa cum laude. Yeah. Amen. And he was heard because of his godly fear. Now, this word godly fear, right? You went through Malachi, right? The godly fear, it is very important because he fears God. He wants to please God because he has to give an account to God. Verse 8, and though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So don't complain when you suffer. I think we always complain, right? I know, because I'm just like you. And you're just like me. Yeah? Whenever you go through suffering, even just a little bit, even if you have toothache, you're complaining. Why me? And why should I have the toothache right now? And you have all kinds of reason not to have a toothache. Learn not to complain, but to pass the test, taking Christ and gaining Christ. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Wonderful. Nobody likes to go through tests, right? But hey, you went through tests from elementary school all the way to college. Did you complain every time you take tests? No, I don't think so, because you're used to taking tests. You think it's normal. But how come when the Lord is testing you spiritually, you complain? You complain. Yeah, but the Lord learned obedience. There's no other way to learn obedience. There's no other way except through suffering. In verse 9, it says, and having been perfected, I like this verse, you know, this phrase. He graduated with highest honor. How about that? Amen, Benson. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. At the graduation date, when the Lord returns, you will get a crown of glory and a crown of life. You'll be crowned with honor and glory, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you suffer, Benson, you need to remember chapter 2 of Hebrews. But we see Jesus crowned with honor and glory. You think the Lord was crowned with honor and glory doing nothing? Just because he's the Son of God, okay, the Father says, okay, it doesn't matter. Come, come, come. I will put a crown on you. You don't even deserve a Burger King crown. I will be ashamed even to put on the Burger King crown. Won't you? I don't know about you. Well, even the Burger King crown, you have to buy a burger, then you get a Burger King crown. You have to pay a price. Don't walk into Burger King and says, give me a crown. He says, no, well, buy a burger first. Mm-hmm. Oh, Father God. No, we all need to learn to be perfected. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ was not called and even made a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek just because he's the Son of God. No, no. It's because he became a man. He was the Son of Man, perfected as a man. And that is why today he is crowned with honor and glory, but not for himself, it's for you. Why for you? And for me and for all of us, why? To make us perfect as he is perfect. Now you know why the Lord has to be perfected as a man. But how many Christians today have this goal and desire to be perfected? And this perfection, once again, I repeat, will be attained only through the priesthood. No, maybe you don't believe. What can I do if people don't believe? It's up to them, right? It's up to them. Oh, to be perfected. And Christ is perfected forever. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. We all need to be perfected. And our Lord was perfected. It's really wonderful. You have to, yeah, go through these chapters in the book of Hebrews. Right. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. Not to all who just believe in him. What does it say here in verse 9, Charlie?
All who obey him.
No, believe in him. Just believe is okay. You sure?
It said to me, written.
It's printed. But I've always been taught just to believe him. Remember, if you understand salvation in its complete sense, okay, in its complete meaning, there isn't a beginning and there is the end. Salvation is a process, just like life. If you are a human being, but you're only 2 years old, are you perfected? No, you're not. What about 5? Okay, 10. How about 15 years old? How about 20 years old? You're not perfected yet. What about 50 years old? Are you perfected? Because you're not a grandfather yet, and you're not a great grandfather yet. There are many levels of perfection. This is why in chapter 7, he is able to save to the uttermost. Now you understand what it means to be saved to the uttermost. Many people are just saved from eternal damnation and they remained at that level. It's the kindergarten level of salvation. We don't stay in the kindergarten level, even elementary level. This is not my word, okay? This is Paul's word, or the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 6, right? You have to leave the elementary level of the word of Christ, and you have to go on to perfection. So perfection is a very important key word in the book of Hebrews. How many years have many of us been a Christian and we have not been perfected as a Christian? I've seen so many churches, really. By the Lord's mercy, I've been a serving one, whatever it is, whatever it meant, for close to 60 years, full time. But I haven't seen perfection. Maturity, being perfected, saved to the uttermost, sanctified completely, to be made perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, holy as God is holy, to be fully conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God, and to be transformed into the same glorious image of Christ from glory to glory. But what I've seen in many, many of the groups and individual brothers and sisters, it is not from glory to glory. It's from a little glory to even less glory. And at the very end, I don't even know what the lowest level is. It's not only no glory, but shame. It's not just plus or minus zero. It is minus zero. It's below zero. Yeah. I don't want to be like that. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Do you want to be like that? No, I don't think so. Any reasonable Christians wouldn't want to be like that. No, we want to go from glory to glory. This is perfection. Perfection, to be saved to the uttermost. In Hebrews chapter 7, is the same as what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 concerning the ministry of the new covenant, of the New Testament. It's a ministry of the Spirit. I have seen in the last 40 years or 50 years, somebody claimed himself to have the ministry of the New Covenant, right? It says, has the ministry, but I don't see any glory. Sorry to say that, I'm not criticizing. Not only have I not seen glory, but I've seen the opposite. In the beginning, there was some glory. And then year after year, the glory faded away from less glory to even less glory. And at the very end, no glory. And then it is shameful. You know, when I saw that, God is my witness. I'm afraid of God. I don't want to be like that. No, I said, no, God, no. No. That's why we have always been asking this great heavenly high priest, what should we do? What went wrong? What should we do? To go upward, not talking about just remaining the same. You can spiritually, you cannot remain the same. Either you go up or you go down. What I'm sharing with you, does it make sense? I don't know, but this is what Hebrews is talking about. Yeah. He is able to save us to the uttermost. And this is why we need this new covenant, the New Testament. We need a different kind of ministry, the reality of a better ministry, of a better covenant with a better promises. Okay. So I hope that at least in the fellowship tonight, the word perfection will be written in your heart. Amen. Benson, is it written in your heart, in your mind? From now on, you have to ask and pray to this heavenly high priest, I want to be perfect, just like you in your humanity. When you became a man, you were perfected. No, Lord, do that. I don't have that many years now left to be perfected. Do it quickly in my daily life. Perfect me. Yeah. Okay. Where are we now? I got carried away. Let's go back to chapter 8 of Hebrews. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So remember, last time we fellowship concerning the matter of the priesthood, that every high priest, and not just the high priest, there are priests, the sons of Aaron, they were appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, meaning to say that is the main task, the main service. It doesn't mean that they only do that, right? But they, you know, with all the services, you really need to see even all the service in the holy place, right? Now, to offer both gifts and sacrifices to God. So don't think, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, no, no. Forget about that. No, it is not. Yes, it is written there in the scriptures, right? In the book of Moses, yes, it is written. But don't call it just the old covenant. No, they are copies to show us what the reality of the heavenly things are. So, offerings of gifts and sacrifices. Remember, you're giving the gifts to God. And the best gift that you can bring to God our Father is our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to experience him. Right? It's not a historical Christ that God is looking for. If it is a historical Christ, he has that very wonderful Christ sitting right next to him, okay, in the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, he's right up there with the Father, right? But he wants you to experience this perfect offering in your daily living. You need to apply it because you're not perfect yet. So you, an imperfect person, a priest that is not perfect, just like me, I'm a priest that is not perfect. What am I going to bring to the Father as a priest? Are you a priest, Benson? Yeah? You were a priest, right, Benson? Yes. As a priest, what are you going to bring to the Father? You have to bring offerings and gifts and sacrifices to the Father, right? No exemption, okay? No exemption. So what are you going to bring? Money? You're going to print Hebrews chapter 8, and then you offer it to the Father. What are you going to bring to God that is perfect? Huh? I cannot hear you, I'm sorry. Christ, I'm sure you're saying Christ as the offerings, right? But people will say, well, he's already up there with the Father. Well, how about you? What do you want to bring to the Father? It is the Christ that you experience that becomes a very part of your being through your experience, day by day. And you bring that perfect Christ who became your experience, whether it is a burnt offering, whether a meal offering, peace offering, right? Whether it's a wave offering. Well, of course, Christ is already resurrected and he is there as the first fruits, even sitting right next to the Father. But what about you? What about your experience of this wonderful Christ? You cannot bring a historical Christ. Father, I thank you for this wonderful Christ who died 2,000 years ago. Well, what about today? What about your reality? How come he died, but you're still very much alive in your flesh? How come you're still living in yourself? What about the ego? I, Paul says, I have been crucified. How come you're not crucified yet? And Paul wrote in Galatians, those who are Christ have crucified their flesh with all the passion and lust and the lust. How come it is not your reality? So what do you have to bring to the Father? A historical Christ? God doesn't need that. He wants the real gift from you, and that gift is through your daily experience of this Christ. And believe me, if you experience such a Christ, you will be transformed and changed into the same image from glory to glory. Otherwise, you will not be growing from glory to glory. You will be going from shame to shame. No glory for God. You think when the Lord Jesus, as the great heavenly high priest, and the Father there, and all the angels are looking. I think when the angels look at the church where you are, I think they will fall asleep. Even you fall asleep in your meeting. Why shouldn't the angels fall asleep? 连你们自己都在那边呢打瞌睡了。That's what my younger sister used to tell me, right? Well, so many years he was in so many groups, and especially in one group for many years, he said he went there and she was just sleeping, falling asleep. Well, what about in our meeting? Are you falling asleep? Let me give you a suggestion. If you fall asleep in this meeting, please go to your bedroom and sleep there. It's more comfortable to sleep. I won't be offended. Yeah, please. No, we all need to see. Right. The Father wants this wonderful, perfect Christ to become your reality. You have to gain him. Even Paul, he never stopped gaining and experiencing Christ in Philippians chapter 3. Oh, that I want to know him. I want to gain Christ. He counted everything but dung. Nothing is as precious as knowing this wonderful Christ, he says. And he wants to know him. He wants to know the power of his resurrection. Don't bring the Father, the historical Christ who rose from the dead historically. What is the use? He rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but daily he is not there. You're not experiencing the power of that resurrection. You're still dead. I hope when I speak this way to all of you, you will realize what I'm talking about, what God the Father wants from us, from the priesthood today. Remember, again, I repeat what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. The church is a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. We are a holy priesthood. And what should a priesthood do? And Peter said it straightforwardly, in clear language, the priesthood should bring spiritual sacrifices and offer it to the Father, to God, acceptable to God. That means he wants it through Jesus Christ. That means the spiritual sacrifices is just the Christ that is experienced by you day by day. Don't talk about the word enjoyment without experience. I tell you, what are you enjoying? The concept, you're enjoying the teaching, the doctrine. After you read the menu I mentioned yesterday, you go to a restaurant and just enjoy the menu. Oh, I enjoy the menu, right? You go to aristocrat restaurant and say, oh, chicken in a basket. Ah, I really enjoy it. I enjoy chicken in a basket. You're dreaming. You're not enjoying.
享受什么？享受道理。 有什么好享受啊？ 你告诉我。 对不起啊， 我讲中文了。 享受信息，哇，非常享受，享受。 How can you enjoy a concept? How can you enjoy a message? How can you enjoy a theological interpretation of the Bible? You can only truly enjoy if you are tasting, you're eating the substance, the reality of what the Word of God is talking about, not a concept. If you are enjoying a concept, you are deceiving yourself. 你是骗自己, 也骗别人。
We need a change. We really need a change. I'm not giving you a conference. I'm sharing from the depths of my heart the burden that has been there for a long time. And it depends on you, not on me. Not on me. First of all, I'm not there. Don't blame me, I'm not there. You are the elders, you are the leading brothers there. You are the one bearing the responsibilities of the churches, not I, I'm not. I'm so far away. How can I help you? Even after listening to the fellowship concerning Hebrews chapter 8, it still cannot help you if you don't practice it. That's why, and the Lord knows, I told the Lord, I don't want to hold any conference anymore. 开什么特会？特会？特会？ I'm already allergic to 特会, the conference. I'm allergic. I just have no choice. So it's up to you, not up to me. Okay, it's up to you. Look, Paul wrote so many epistles. Did it help? You think if he wrote 10 more epistles than what he has written there, including the book of Hebrews, it will be a bigger help? No. No. So it depends on all of you. You want to obey. You want to practice it. And don't blame others. Right? Even don't blame the church. Oh, nobody there is practicing. Well, then you practice it. If you say, oh, in the church meeting, the elders didn't want to practice it, so we're not practicing it. Okay, then do it in the afternoon, those who want to practice. Come. And if you cannot use the meeting hall, they don't allow it, it's locked down. Okay, then do it at home. It's spiritual sacrifices. You don't have to, you're not bound by the four walls. If somebody tells you, you are not allowed to breathe, okay? You're not allowed to breathe. What are you going to do? Hold your breath? Okay, if I'm not allowed to breathe in a meeting hall, you say goodbye, I go outside of the meeting hall and breathe. What about that? We all need to obey the word of God, even if others do not want to obey. It's up to them. I cannot force anybody to obey the word of God. Even God himself cannot force you to do it. But those who want to do it, those who desire to practice the priesthood, nobody can stop you. Okay, I cannot do it here, I'll do it at home. If my husband or my wife or whoever is in the house says, no, you cannot do it in my house. Okay, I'll do it outside in the garden. If you say, okay, you can't do it in the garden, I'll go to the park and do it. Who can stop you? Who can stop you? And at the very end, finally, if you cannot still do it anywhere, they lock you up, then you do it in the prison house. That's what Paul did, right? When he was in prison, he was singing there. He was holding a meeting there, and he was worshiping God in the prison. And while he was doing that, there was an earthquake, and the doors were all open. Who can stop you? If you desire, you have an ear to hear the Lord. You can always do it. You can always practice the truth. No one can stop you. Finally, if you're by yourself, just like Elijah, he thinks he's by himself. The Lord says, no, no, don't worry. There are about still 7,000 somewhere else you don't see. Even if you're by yourself and nobody wants to do it, you still have to do it. And just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he was by himself. He was by himself, and he was the only one who truly offered a real sacrifice to the Father after he rose from the dead. So let no one stop you. That doesn't mean you fight with people. No, don't fight. No need to fight. We are a peaceful priesthood, okay? Christ is a king of peace. He's not a king of war. He's a king of peace. He's a king of righteousness. You do the right thing and you do it peacefully, peacefully. Right? That's why I'm telling Clarine, no fighting, right? Even if they persecute you, right? Is the church in Clarine still there? Right. Yeah. I said, yeah, be peaceful, joyful. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is really wonderful. We walk with God in peace and equity. I cannot even remember when was the last time I really quarrel or fight with anyone, with a brother. No need of fighting. But we need to satisfy the Father. So when the Lord was on this earth, he didn't care for anything else but to do the Father's will. That is why today he is qualified to be such a great and heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm sorry, how much time do I have? Just a few more minutes, right? 3 minutes. Oh, okay. I'm going to be on time today. I'll just stop in 3 minutes. Yeah. So please, may the Lord show us right here. Now he has obtained. He obtained, okay? That means it was given to him, awarded to him by the Father, by God. He obtained it. He gained it. He deserved it. He obtained it. A more excellent ministry. Wonderful. He obtained a more excellent ministry. And he is also a mediator, the author of a better covenant, which now is a testament, which was established on better promises. If you touch the reality, all these three wonderful things. And it says to us, the first covenant is full of fault. Fault doesn't mean here that it was wrong, okay? Fault in a sense that it did not achieve what God wanted it to achieve. What basis do I have to say that? Because Paul says in the book of Romans and Galatians, the law is good. And even the law is holy. And the law is even spiritual. So there's nothing wrong in the law itself, given to Moses or through Moses to God's people. But it cannot give life to people so that they're able to fulfill the law. That is the faultiness of the law, meaning to say, this is the reason why the law did not work. But it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It is even according to the heavenly pattern. It shows forth the very nature of God, the righteous God, and that God is love. The law is wonderful. It'll be terrible without this law. At least it sort of put God's people in a restraint there, in a fence, so that all the sheep will not run away, will not escape them. There's a fence there to keep them there until it says here, right, until the time of Reformation in the next chapter, right? Until the time of Reformation. But the law cannot work. But it was only temporary. It was necessary, but temporary. Okay, we stop here, right? The first covenant didn't work. That is why we need a new covenant. Now apply that to your church life and to your past experience. It did not work. Do not continue in that way. That means there was no reality of life. There's a lot of doctrine and teaching and interpretation. And my goodness, our head became so big. Yeah, we talk about the spirit, but the spirit is so small, but our head is so big. It is knowledge. This is why Paul says that's the letter. Knowledge doesn't work. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It makes you puff up. That means it pumps air into your head. No wonder our head looks like a balloon. Yeah. Knowledge puffs up. Makes the person proud. Oh, I know this. I know. So what if you know? So what if we know? So the old covenant did not work. Our old ways of just listening to messages, teachings, and reading the Bible, and it didn't work. Our ways of worship, singing, and then a message, and then go home, that did not work. Not just for a few decades, it's for a few centuries it didn't work. Throw it away. It's obsolete. Like we saw last night. Okay, we stop here. I have overtime, 4 minutes. Sorry. Okay. We don't need a new way. We need a new covenant. We need a new testament. When you think of a New Testament, just give me one more minute. Benson, when you think about the New Testament, what are you thinking about?
Matthew,
Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. You think about this book?
Yes.
But the Lord is not talking about this book. The Lord is talking about the reality, the substance of Christ. Okay. See you later.